This afternoon we're going to study the book of Ephesians. So if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1, we will begin looking at the entire book, and we're looking at the theme of what it means to be in Christ. The prepositional phrase "in Christ" is dominant in this book. Paul elaborates on the meaning of being in Christ, and he does this throughout the book. So we're going to begin in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Before we study, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for this time to be here. Thank you for this time to study your word. I pray that in this day that you have blessed us and we're a little tired spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, that you will strengthen us in every aspect of our lives. Enable us to focus on you and your word, and as you would instruct us by your Holy Spirit, remind us of what it means for each of us, what it means to be in Christ. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The preposition in the Greek, and there are several that may be translated in, but the one that's predominantly in the book of Ephesians has a special meaning, and it means to be inside Christ, not outside coming in, not coming into Christ. But it means to be in Christ, and it means to be in the center of Christ. We can all say we're in the room. And if you look at where everybody's sitting, you're in particular degrees of being inside the room. Whereas I stand here, and I am in the very center. And that's what that preposition implies, being in the center of Christ. So that's the basic meaning. Another meaning, by the way, this preposition is written, it means two things. First of all, the place. The emphasis is on the place. Notice it's not in church, even though we are the church, but it's not in church it's emphasized in this book. It's in Christ. And then the other part of being in Christ would be in Him alone. In Him alone. It emphasizes that I'm in Christ and I'm not trying to be over here at part of the time. It's restrictive. It's restrictive. I'm in this part, right in the heart of being in Christ. So that's what that preposition actually means. So let's look at verses 1 and 2. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there are two words here that we see define the believer. One is the word saint. That's the first word. And the word saint means to be separated from. So when we begin to think about what it means to be in Christ, you and I have been separated from what? The sin that's killed us. So we're separated from that. We've been and given life. We've been separated from unholiness and ungodliness and all unrighteousness. So separation. Then the other part of the meaning of saint is to be dedicated. And we're dedicated to Christ. We're dedicated to be like Him, to walk in His ways. And so that's the word saint. Separated from the world, separated from sin, dedicated to God. The other word in there is faithful. The other word is faithful. Now, in your Bible, and it depends on the translation, the ESV uses the word faithful. Another way of translating the word in the Greek, which is the word for faith, would be believers. Would be believers. I like the word faithful better, because with the word faithful, when you look up the word in the Greek, the word has a connotation of constancy or dependable. Those of us who are in Christ and we are faithful, that means we are constantly in Christ. We are consistent. Because the life that you and I live, as the Holy Spirit lives in us, we strive to be consistent and constant in our walk with the Lord. And so, wherever I might see you and wherever you might see me, I can pretty much know, and you'll pretty much know, how we're going to handle the situation and the testimony of our character, because we're faithful to Christ. And that's very important. Another part of being faithful is to be reliable. To be reliable. And that obviously means that whatever circumstance or situation we're in, I can count on all of you to be a Christian witness in those circumstances, in that situation. I know you're not going to be ungodly. I know that you're going to be consistent in your testimony. So, saint and faithful, powerful words that describe a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on in. I've got another verse that I want us to look at in chapter 1. And that's verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Two things here. First of all, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The spiritual blessings that God has for us are in Christ. In Christ. Now, we receive those blessings by also being in the church and the fellowship of the believers and God's blessings upon His people when they gather to worship, when they gather to carry out various ministries that He has led by His Spirit for us to be involved in. And so, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So we receive these blessings in Christ. Now notice we were chosen in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now when we have a biblical view of mankind, we were without hope at one time. We were spiritually dead. We had no choice, but then God in His grace and mercy, because He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, brought us to a saving knowledge at some point in time. And we become believers in Christ. We begin to study the Word. Then we begin to understand, oh my goodness, I didn't decide to choose Christ. I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Boy, just, you know, kind of stop and think about that for a while. He chose us. He gave us His grace and His mercy. We were not interested in it if you think back when you were a non-believer. But yet, so we were chosen in Him. And by the fact that He did the choosing, should keep all of us humble. Because we all understand we don't deserve this. We don't deserve anything the Lord has given us. It is all by His grace and His mercy to us. So that's a humbling doctrine election, predestination, foreknowledge should just cause us to go to our knees and, oh Lord, thank you so much. So being in Christ means we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, and every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ are given to us. Now, let's go to chapter 2. Now, I know you're thinking we're going to look at verse 1 and then verses 8 and 9, but we're not. We're not. Let's look at verse 10. Look at verse 10 in chapter 2. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are His workmanship. The word workmanship could be translated product. Product. You and I are product of God choosing us, forgiving us, cleansing us, and conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. So we are His product. And it's an ongoing work. Anybody in here completely sanctified right now? No. We're working on it, but we're not there yet. Sometimes you ever feel like one step forward and two back? Yeah. But no, we're making progress. Slow but sure, we're making progress. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So we are a constant work of Christ. Do you ever say that somebody's a real work? That's normally not a good thing to say about somebody. But we're all a work. It should be good, and hope it is. So we're His product. So we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now you get to the word for. That's an important word, because the word for says purpose. Purpose. And the purpose would be good works. Good works. Now we get to define good works. The word good in the Greek there means excellent. Works means something that we accomplish on behalf of Christ. In fact, the word work in ergo, where we get our word energy, is sometimes carries with it. It's divine energy working in us. Divine energy working in us. So when you and I serve the Lord, and whatever gifts and abilities He's given to you and me, and we exercise those gifts and abilities, the power that we have to do that is supernatural power. It's a divine work. It's a holy work. And so that basically translates into the life that you and I live. We have a tendency to pigeonhole this thing into various ministries in the church. But when you stop and think about it, it's the way in which you and I live our lives on a daily basis. And whatever gifts and abilities that God's given to us to use out in the world, then in that work that we do, we're to honor Christ in it. Whatever occupation you and I have, we're to honor Christ in that occupation. And that's going to honor Him out in the world, and we'll be a witness to those around us when we conduct ourselves and conduct our business in a way that's pleasing and honoring to God. So we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now look at the last phrase in there, that we should walk in them. That's always bothered me, that verb form. It's subjunctive, meaning conditional, that we should walk in them, which implies we might not walk in them. And that's the truth. Now, we're talking about a free will here. Realize, biblically speaking, only Christians have a free will. Because you and I can choose to disobey God or obey Him. The non-believer is spiritually dead. and the non-believer can only disobey God. They have no ability to obey God and to honor Him. Those of us in Christ are the only ones that can do that. And so the verb should, being in the subjunctive, will tell us that there sometimes we will have those good works and we have the potential not to do those good works. The choice is on us. Will I obey God in this? And notice the word walk, that you should walk in them. It's interesting he didn't say that you should do them. He said you should walk in them, which means, as you recall, the word walk there would mean conduct your lives. So we should conduct our lives in a manner that's pleasing and honoring to God. Now the question we ask ourselves, do I do it? How consistent am I in walking in life, in walking through life on a daily basis? How consistent and constant am I in showing those around me that I am a believer? Being in the military for 4 years, you had your rank on your shirt and your name and all this stuff. And I don't like that. I don't like my name on my clothes. If I want you to know my name, I'll tell you. I don't want you to read it on me, you know. And you go into the hospitals today and security has to be tight. And they give me this tag in some hospital that says clergy on it. I'm not a clergy. And I don't like those things. So you know what I do? Put it inside my coat so nobody can see it. If my life and my conduct is not exemplary enough for people to know I'm different from everybody else, I'm failing. If I have to wear a title that says I'm a pastor or I'm a believer, something's wrong with my testimony. Something's wrong with the way I conduct my life on a daily basis. And so this is what is in verse 10, that we should walk in such a fashion that people will know who we are. So that's in chapter 2. Now let's go over to chapter 3. Now in chapter 3, we're going to pick up at verse 16. Let's look at verses 14 through 16. And this is a prayer. Paul's prayers in the book of Ephesians are really powerful prayers of how we should pray. So being in Christ means that we should pray along these lines. Now this is not the only way we can pray. We should pray as the Spirit of God works in us and moves us, okay? So please understand, don't misunderstand me that every time I pray, I got to pray like this. No, you and I pray as the Spirit of God leads us. But here's some guidelines that we can incorporate into our prayers. Now look at verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Now look at 16. That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So as we pray for brothers and sisters in Christ, and if you do not know what to pray, then pray according to verse 16. According to the riches of His glory. He's pretty rich in glory and honor. And so we should ask Him based on His riches to accomplish things in the life of believers. And what are those things? That He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, that He may grant you. Now look at the verb, to be strengthened. This is passive, which means something outside us has to strengthen us. And that's the Spirit of God. And this is spiritual strength. This gives us the ability to do what we were discussing this morning on experiencing God's power in us and experiencing the changes in life and the ability to go through those changes, it comes to us by the Holy Spirit. And we should pray for God, not only to strengthen ourselves, but brothers and sisters in Christ, spiritually, to be strengthened with power. Now, there's a different word there. The word power there is dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. And so, when we're strengthened with power, then the Spirit of God gives us spiritual strength, and then the power to go forward in the Spirit of God and be the witness that He's wanting us to be. You know, how many times do you and I get in a situation where we think, I can't do this. I don't know that I can do this. This is going to be a challenge for me to be holy in this situation. Well, what we need to say is, Lord, You've got to give me the power to be holy. You've got to give me the spiritual power to rise above, not to sink below the world. But give me the power to rise above and be godly, be holy in this situation, and handle it in a holy fashion. And you know what? That's based on His riches, and He'll give it to us. We just need to ask for it, and He will give it. You've all experienced that. I know you have in your life, in your walk with the Lord. We've all been in situations where, oh my goodness, I don't know if I got the desire to do that. You know, that flesh can be pretty strong sometimes. But I don't want to handle this in the flesh. I want to handle this in the Spirit. Please, Lord, give me Your power, Your ability to actually rise up and be holy in this situation. That's what it is in verse 16. Now look at 17 through 19 in chapter 3. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Christ may dwell in you through faith. Our faith in Christ. The Spirit of God is dwelling in us, which means Christ is dwelling in us. His teachings, His character. So that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Isn't that neat? What we're to be rooted and grounded in? Not theology. Why didn't Paul say rooted and grounded in theology? Because he wanted us to be grounded in agape. And a love of commitment, a love of making sacrifices, a love that's loving the unlovable. That, please don't misunderstand me. You know I take theology very seriously, so I'm not downplaying that. But if you ever run up against a theological religious person, they call Pharisees. And you'll never rise to what they think is righteous. You will never rise to that. But in Christ, the love of God tempers all of that. And we will rise as we are conformed to the image of Christ, because it's the Holy Spirit bringing us up. And it's all because of love. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. And we will have a desire to obey. We'll have a desire to learn the Word of God. And so we see here in these verses that you, being rooted and grounded in love, now what's the next step? May have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and height and depth of Christ. Just how deep that love is. And how much He loved us. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. To know the love of Christ We can comprehend the love of Christ enough to understand. We don't understand it completely. I know He loves me. He's demonstrated that by providing for me, by dying for my sins and being raised from the dead. I know He loves me. But you know, in my finite mind, it's hard to just grasp the depth of that love. But we all know it because we have it in our hearts and experience it on a regular basis. And then look at the last phrase, that you may build with all the fullness of God, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The word fullness there means a complete amount. A complete amount. It means filling up the glass right to the brim. There's nothing left that you can put in that container. That's the fullness of the knowledge of God. Again, as you and I continue to grow spiritually and walk with the Lord, we begin, our knowledge of God begins to deepen in us and strengthen our faith and our confidence in Him. That's what it means to be in Christ. Now, let's look at chapter 4. In chapter 4, I want us to look at verses 22 and 24. First of all, it's talking about the new life. And let's look at verse 22. These are responsibilities that in Christ you and I have to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt and through deceitful desires. So we've got this put off. What do we put off? The old self, our old ways of thinking, our old desires, everything about it. And put off here means to take off a garment and put it over there and don't pick it up again. We have these old clothes at home, right, that fit so nicely, but you don't wear them in public. I pulled off a t-shirt the other day, one of the VBS shirts. Oh man, I love that shirt. And I held it up. Oh no. It's got holes and I told myself, I can't wear this outside this house anymore. I put it in the wash and Mary Eleanor washed it, and guess what? It's back in my drawer. I went to Lowe's the other day and I knew I couldn't wear that shirt. Oh, but it's comfortable. That sin life is so comfortable. But we're not to go there anymore. We're to put it off. But when we put that off, what do? Look at verse 24. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We're to put the new on, never to take it off. And look what we're created in here, in true righteousness. Look at the word true. Real righteousness. The righteousness of Christ that has fulfilled the law on our behalf. And true holiness. It's the holiness of God in us through Christ. This is what we are put on. Then in chapter 5, let's go to chapter 5. Couple of verses in chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because of the days are evil. Look carefully. Pay close attention how you walk. Have you ever been walking before and not paid too much attention and you stepped in a hole or got your feet tangled up or you stepped in something you didn't want to step in because you wouldn't pay any attention? And this is paying attention to how we walk spiritually, discerning how we are spiritually in this situation. How am I conducting myself? How am I handling this? Notice also it says here, not as unwise, but as wise. Asking God for the wisdom, His wisdom, to navigate the waters I'm in, to walk through these circumstances that I'm in and the situation so I can handle it in a way that's pleasing to God. Now look at 16. Making the best use of the time. Making the best use of the time. Am I redeeming the time? The word time there is kairos. It means event. You got chronos, which is a block of time. And you got kairos, which is the event in that block. This is the kairos. The event I'm in right at this moment. Am I redeeming it and using it for Christ? Who's going to be honored? Me or Christ? What will the people remember, or what will the person remember that I've just talked to? Not about me, but about Christ. That's what we need. That's redeeming the time. That's making the best use of the time that we have. Now, then we go to chapter 6 of Ephesians. Chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. And it's interesting to me, that when Paul is ready to close out this epistle, notice he closes it on the truth of spiritual war. He addresses all of life in chapters 1 through 5. And then when he gets to the end of his letter, he reminds the people, don't forget the war you're in. And you're in it every day. It's a spiritual war. Look at 10, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Be strong in the Lord. We have to draw our strength in this spiritual war. We have to draw it from the Lord because He's omnipotent. There is no other source for us. Once again, that preposition. In the Lord. We have to have the strength of the Lord. We cannot fight this spiritual war with our own means and abilities. We lose. But in Christ, in the Lord, we will win. Now, let's continue on in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. We cannot pick and choose. These people who profess to be Christians and they deny parts of Scripture being the Word of God, you know what that's like? That's like a military who trains their people to fight the war. Oh, don't worry about those rounds that go in the rifle. You don't need those. No, every bit of it's extremely important. You've got to have all of it. And you have to know how to use it. And so this is so important here that we take the entire armor of God. And notice the purpose of this, that you may be able to stand. That when Satan in his schemes and all of his maneuvering, he's very cunning. And he tries to deceive us and get us to not be the witness that God wants us to be. Not be the light that we're supposed to be or the salt that we're supposed to be. Don't worry about that. You don't have to be a witness in this. Relax. You don't need to do that. It's okay. What's one time going to hurt? One time cracks the door. You know what happens when you crack a door? It widens. And so he's scheming and he's a jerk. And we have to watch it. We put on the whole armor of God. And then look at verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We are surrounded by evil spirits. They're all over the place. We can't see them, but we can sense them. We can perceive the presence of evil. And I just imagine that every one of you, at some time in your life, since you've become a believer, you've been around a crowd of people where there was something that wasn't right, or around a person that, you know, they're not standing there with a red outfit on and horns and a pitchfork. But there's something about an individual that concerns you, but you can't put your finger on it. That spiritual perception. You're not judging. You're not condemning. But you keep your distance, because something's not right here. You don't jump up and down and proclaim them evil and ungodly. You just be very careful when you're around someone like that. And you and I have that ability because the Spirit of God dwelling in you and in me. And we should discern that. We should be able to understand that and be very careful around folks that give you that kind, because we are wrestling against not flesh and blood, but against spirits that are evil. And that is life. But in Christ, we have that wisdom. We have that power. We have that ability to rise above and lead our lives and live our lives in a way that's pleasing and honoring to God. Well, brothers and sisters, that's what it means to be in Christ. That's where you and I live on a daily basis. This is what is in us on a daily basis. And it's a real blessing when we can reflect on our lives each day and see that we have redeemed the time, the event that we've been in all day. Keep walking with the Lord. Yeah, we're not perfect. We'll sin. We'll lose a battle every now and then. But when we do, we learn from the battle we lost. So when we re-engage, hopefully we won't do badly again. But it's an ongoing thing. What a blessing to be in Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we love you because you love for us. Thank you that you've chosen us before the foundation of the world in Christ. Thank you that we live in Christ day in and day out. Thank you for this time to study your word and to see from your word who we are in Christ and what you expect of us, and enable us to live our lives in a manner that's pleasing and honoring to you. I pray, Father, that as you have instructed us from your word by your Spirit, that as we go from this house of worship, we go in the power and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ being dwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we would indeed redeem the time that you've given to us. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.